Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 10th of October, recording at 9:50 p.m., and that's still British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly lower once again. An exception was the China A-Share Index, which followed yesterday's strong gains, with a little bit more to the upside. The biggest decline, probably Japan, down nearly 2% on the Nikkei. European stock markets are lower across the boards, but these are relatively modest declines, mostly in the 0.5% region, although I notice it's Sweden down just over 1% and the IBEX down exactly 1%. In North America and South America, again, declines dominant, but looks like they're under 1%. The Dow falling 128 points. That's down 0.95%. And what else do we have? Long-dated government bond prices. They have firmed against this background of the weaker equity markets. Fairly strong upside move by the U.S. long bond futures today, up 1 point, checking the decline that we had been seeing. Bond prices, though, in Europe, I notice, are just a little bit lower. The U.S. dollar index is just about unchanged. It's just below the 80 level. And the Aussie's edged up 102.34. And the euro is, where is the euro here? 128.75. That's down just a little bit here today. Sterling up a fraction just above the 160 level. So quiet activity for the most part in the currency markets. Precious metals suffered from a bit of contagion in here today, particularly platinum and palladium. Palladium down $9, platinum down 17, takes that back to 1678. And silver held up better and is currently at 1762.55. That's down $1.75. Silver, although it dipped earlier on, better still, and actually is holding a very modest gain of 3 cents in after-hours trading as I speak. Industrial metals were lower. Crude oil in the U.S., the WTI, that's down $1, 91.36. The Brent is steady, unchanged really, at around the 114.5 level. In the agricultural commodities, we have the soybeans. They are lower by 26 cents, down to 15.23. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, clearly that very good rally that we had seen in stock markets, it began with the upward dynamics in June on Wall Street. Europe kicked in a very big way in July, helped by Mario Draghi's decisions at the ECB and the move towards laying the framework really for the banking union. That certainly all helped. And so, as you know, the rest you know, we saw a very powerful ranging rally that picked up speed a little bit last month for the U.S., got up to new highs for the year, fairly rarefied territory. I described it yesterday, saying the air is thinner up here. We also became overbought on all these indices, and they've boiled over. And we're in that reaction and corrective phase that I have been talking about now for several weeks. And it probably has a little bit further to go. It hasn't reined in all stock markets just yet, but it has reined in most of them. And for instance, some of the stalwart standouts will take the ASEAN sector, which had been hitting new highs. And case in point, Singapore, which had had an upward dynamic on Friday, last Friday, and broke to a new high, but then on Monday it had an even bigger dynamic to the downside, indicating an upside failure and follow through Tuesday, and it fell quite sharply in here today. So we're reining these relative strength standouts in somewhat as profit taking occurs across the boards. Now we also live, as you know, in this environment dominated by the high frequency trading, which I don't like much, as you may have guessed, and because it's predatory and destructive. And I've got a couple of very good articles on it here again today that I'll be posting shortly. But what it means is it's given birth to those banal terms of risk on and risk off, which I hate to use, but you know what they mean. And so we're currently in a risk off phase here, which is dragging down the stock markets. It is steadying up the bond prices once again, and it's also weighing on commodity prices here right now. So, what are some of the other developments here that may also be relevant? Well, Japan down quite sharply, as I mentioned today, down 2%, and that's brought the Nikkei back to just below the 8,600 level. That spat with China, well, maybe it's more than a spat, because we had all those demonstrations and protests earlier, the riots even earlier in the month, destruction in a lot of Japanese shops and factories, and attacks on people in Japanese cars. Well, Japanese cars are not selling right now in China. Sales are down 40% since all that began. And so that's a problem, obviously a big problem here for Japan in the short term. I sincerely hope that those tensions are not fanned any further here. I'm sure we all do, but I report it as a factor in the markets that's certainly weighing on China. Elsewhere, though, we look around the world, aside from some profit taking overall, and the fact that we had seen we'd seen that QE push stock markets up enough so that had actually created some valuation expansion overall. And I described that variously as getting ahead of itself, borrowing from the future, same thing, and left us vulnerable to this correction. In other words, the markets were running ahead, certainly of earnings and growth, and so thus a pullback. But the QE, it looks like the QE isn't going to be going away anytime soon. And although people are very concerned about the slowdown in global GDP growth, and understandably so, that historically this background of accommodative monetary policy and slow growth has been bullish for equities. For equities to get into trouble, we have to see overheating economies and tightening monetary policy, which is draining liquidity out of the system. So I think that what we're seeing here at worst is probably another correction, possibly on the scale of what we saw in May of this year. The HFT makes these moves a bit more exaggerated than we would have seen, for instance, in the previous decade between 2003 and 2007. But I'll put it this way: I don't think the outlook is anywhere near as as bad as some of the exceptionally bearish comment that we have been seeing this year. And indeed, most of these stock markets are also up on the year, as you know. Okay, what about the currencies? Well, we haven't had a big surge in sort of risk-off U.S. dollar buying, and I'm not at all sure that we will see that in a reaction to moderate correction overall. The euro fears, for instance, that were a big factor on every corrective phase that we've seen in stock markets for several years. The worst fears have not been realized. We're not getting the imminent forecasts of an imminent euro breakup, which so many people were making. Fortunately, that was never Fuller Money's view. So again, we know all about the slow growth and the problems of austerity and demonstrations in the street, which are affecting sentiment here a little bit right now. But it's not the it's not generating the extreme crisis fears around the globe that we had seen previously, is the point that I'm trying to make here overall. Now, will this corrective phase drag precious metals much lower? That's an important question here for some of us. The answer has to be it could, but they've held up really not badly at all in here right now. And I think one of the reasons for that is that I think my view that we are back into an accumulation phase for precious metals. I think that's gained some currency here as a result of the sharp rally that we saw from mid-August and into mid-September. And certainly, let's put it this way, rather than guess what the markets are going to do here, a normal correction, which would be a normal consolidation, which would see a bigger and longer trading range, which is exactly what we're getting. But we're not seeing the sort of sharp downward moves that we had seen, let's say, earlier in the year and last year, when the distribution phase was underway. So I think this is very much back into the accumulation phase for precious metals. And I think that the whole QE phenomenon is really more bullish for precious metals than just about anything else overall. And I think that will be reflected again before the end of the year. But that's my view. But we'll see. We'll see what happens here, how much of these gains precious metals hold. If they hold up approximately in this current region, maybe ease a little bit lower, then that will bode well for the medium-term future. Crude oil. The Brent price is uncomfortably high, I feel, and right now that's being kept up by tensions in the Middle East, mainly the tensions between that we're seeing between Syria and Turkey, and one hopes that that doesn't blow into a bigger conflict. I don't think it will, because I don't think Syria is in a position to provoke that. But that's put a premium in the price of crude oil, which I don't think is justified by demand. And a point that Owens made here again today, and just in talking about natural gas and how the increasing availability of natural gas, which is cheaper than crude oil, is more than capable of causing some demand destruction for crude, if not in the very short term, certainly over the medium to longer term overall. And I think that is what we will actually see. So there's some scope for this Brent to come lower, and I think also some scope for the WTI to come a little bit lower overall. I think that's pretty much it here today. So, all the best.